Let's take our Bibles together to the Gospel of John, John chapter 19. We continue to go verse by verse through this book of the Word of God concerning our Savior, and the chapter that we're in is the chapter about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The passage before us this morning is about the death of our Savior. John chapter 19, if you would begin reading with me in verse number 30, and we'll read down to verse 37. John 19 and verse 30, the Bible says, "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced." The passage that we've read this morning is about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest event as far as human beings would be concerned in the history of the world would be the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, out of all events, why would that be the greatest event? Well, it'd be the greatest event because without the death of Jesus Christ, nobody in here would have a hope of going to heaven. And we would all be lost in our sins. We would be undone. And that death of Jesus on the cross was necessary for a sinful man like all of us are. All of humanity's always been that way. We could only get to God through the death of his Son. And so Jesus Christ died for us, that central point, as his body is hanging there. I wish, as the scripture says, as they look upon him, that we could look upon him this morning, that dead body of Jesus Christ. There's nothing beautiful about death. And when someone dies, we don't want to just gaze at the body there. We put that body away. We take it to the funeral home, or we put it in a casket. We get it out of our sight. We don't want to see that. We don't want to contemplate that. But you ought to contemplate the death of Jesus Christ. You ought to think about his body as it hung there dead for you. Because that it's not a gruesome thing, it's a victorious thing. It's a liberating thing. It is a wonderful thing. It's the salvation that you need that was hanging on that cross. The Bible says that we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. You have two opposite. You know, we have days today that marriages are split, and sometimes it seems like that you can't get them together. The husband's way over here and the wife's way over here, and the divorce rate in our country just continues to go higher and higher, except for the fact that people don't even get married anymore. They don't even see a cause to get married. They just live like animals. I said like animals. And the Bible tells us that we're reconciled to God by the death of the Son. So you got two opposite parties, just like the split in the family, and you can't get the two together. Well, God's on this side and man is on this side, and there's no way to get the two together because God is so different than we are. He's holy and we're sinful. He's right and we're wrong. His ways are higher than our ways. We're of the earth. He's of heaven. How are you going to get a holy God together with a sinful man? The Bible says that God reconciled us by the death of his Son. It was the death of Jesus Christ. It was that body that was hanging there that appeased a holy God, where he could say, yes, now I can be brought together with the sinner because of the death of my Son. Romans 5 says that when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly, that God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't just Jesus dying on a tree. His body's not just generically hanging there. It's hanging there for you. That's your sacrifice. For everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought, every offense you've ever been given to God, that body that's hanging there, the wages of your sin is death. And right there it is, as the dead body of Jesus hangs on that tree. He died for you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He didn't just die because the Jews didn't want him. He didn't just die because the Romans were in power. He died for your sins. He didn't just die for their sins. He died for your sins. And that's why it's such an offense to God when man tries to find his own way to God, whether it be with religion, whether it be with his own good works, or God just accepting me for who I am. God will only accept that dead body of his son hanging on that tree, limp, and giving all of the blood that he shed for you. That's the only thing God will accept for your sins. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at this passage, I see three things I want to show you this morning. And by the way, when Jesus gave up the ghost right here, that's when the New Testament began. Something brand new started. When Jesus gave up the ghost, something brand new happened. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that a testament is not in force until the death of the testator. That Old Testament law, that old covenant, you say, preacher, why do we have a New Testament? Why do we live a different life? Why do we have a Christian life? Because Jesus Christ started something brand new, and he started it with his death. And his last will and testament, the New Testament, is now in force when he gave up the ghost for us. But I want to show you three things this morning. When you look at verse 31, the first one sort of upsets me a little bit. The Bible says in verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. If you could see the scene of Golgotha's hill on Calvary that day, you've got these three men hanging there dying, and of course Jesus Christ in the middle. And the Jews go to Pilate and says, go break their legs. Now why did they want their legs to be broken? The Bible says very plainly, because it was the preparation. They did not want those bodies hanging on that cross on the Sabbath day. If you look back just a few verses, look verse 14 of the same chapter, John 19. John 19, the Bible says in verse 14, and it was the preparation of the Passover. Do you see that? Now here's the deal. The Jewish people thought the Sabbath day and the Passover was so holy that it was against their own law to leave somebody on a tree hanging there and die. And they were so concerned about their religion that they didn't want to defile their religious feast. In other words, they didn't want the death of these three men to interrupt their religious celebration. And so they go to Pilate and said, break their legs. Let's get this over with. Now, if you break the legs of people that are hanging on a cross, that excruciating death on the cross, and the oxygen that's needed, and those men having to push up and grasp for their breath as they're hanging on that tree in exhaustion and dehydration, you break their legs, you are going to be hastening their death. So that's the whole purpose. We want this to be over with. Kill them already. Get it over with. We got to go to church. Can you imagine that? Kill them. We've got to meet God. I'll show you that even in their law. Would you just hold your finger there and go to Deuteronomy chapter 21. I'm going to make a point here in just a second. In other words, what I'm trying to say is they cared so much more about their religion, and it was more important than people's own lives and their own souls. They cared more about their religious observance than they did those three men hanging on a cross. They cared more about their religious observance than what was going to happen to those three men and their families. Hasten their death. Hasten their death. Get them out of the way. We've got our feast to go to. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 21, Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 22, the Bible says, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance. So it was against their law to leave somebody up on that tree all night. And so they say, you know, we got to get these guys off the cross. And because many times crucifixion was a very long, excruciating death. I mean, our Savior had already hung on this tree for 6 hours, you see. So this was a long, excruciating death. And they said, go ahead and break their legs and let's get this over with. We've got things we've got to do, got to attend to. Their religion was more important to them. Listen now. Their religion was more important to them than Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Break his legs, get it over with. Get this guy out of the way. We've got our religion. You know, today it's not so much different. We've got people, their religion's a lot more important to them than Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, religion as a whole, the central part of religion is not Jesus Christ. The central part of religion is going through observances and making oneself feel better about themselves. Now, if you came here this morning to feel better, you probably won't. But if you came here this morning to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ and love the Lord Jesus Christ and find Jesus Christ in your life, you came for the right reason. We are not here to observe religion or get a Sunday school pen or be able to tell everybody, hey, I go to church. We come to church because we love Jesus Christ. We come to church if you're saved because we've been saved by Jesus Christ. We want to give Him our praise. We want to give Him our prayers. Our religion, look, there's so many people that go to church, but they're not going to meet with the Lord. And these Jews, they didn't care about Jesus on that tree. They just cared about another feast to keep their religion and have the big show. I'd say this, they also didn't care about the other two guys. You know, one of those guys, he went to paradise with the Lord because he called out to the Lord. The one on the right side of Calvary. The one on the wrong side of Calvary, the one on the left side of Calvary, he didn't do that, the left side of the Lord. No, he reviled the Lord and he went to hell. But what I'm trying to say is that religion, the preparation, this religious preparation, they had no care for these men. They had no care for their souls. You know what grieves me? I don't think religion has a lot of care for the souls of men today. I'm not even a religious person. Matter of fact, the word religion is only found in a good light one time in your Bible. Pure religion, and it's in James, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That's the only good reference to religion in the whole Bible. Because you know what religion usually doesn't care about? It doesn't care about people's souls. Now, I'm not talking about their bodies. Now, religion does a lot of humanitarian things, but come here just a minute. What would it help if we fed everybody and then they all went to hell? What good would it do if we put roofs on people's houses? And we get all the time. People come up to the church through the week and stuff and say, hey, you know, can you pay my electric bill? Can you pay my water bill? Would you give me some gas in my car? We've got all that. But here's the point. And I try to communicate that to people. What does it matter if I fill your car up with gas and I pay your bills for you and I get all that done in your life and then you continue to live your life without God and you meet God and you're judged and you have no hope? So religion doesn't care about the soul. I wonder this morning, do you care about people's souls? Is your religion more important to you than the souls of men? You know, when people come into our church, I've not even asked. You know, some of you are visiting today. I've not even asked. But when some people come to church, they look around, they say, was this the United Nations? You know, what's the deal with all the flags? Well, all these flags represent the fact that we want to emphasize in our church that this is not about religion. This is not about just building some big denomination or religious institution. This is about the souls of men. Each of these flags represent a missionary that we support that's taking the gospel to people in all these different countries, over 100 missionaries. The purpose of our church is not to have a big church and not to get big offerings. The purpose of our church is to try to reach the souls of men that are hanging on a tree. The purpose of our church. That's why yesterday we went and we gave the gospel in Lynchburg, Tennessee. That's why we'll be at the Veterans Day Parade passing out gospel tracts, because we care about people's souls. That's why this week, amen, we had people in the Limestone County Correctional Center telling people about Jesus Christ. That's why we have them in the public schools ministering. The purpose of our church is not religion. The purpose of our church is trying to reach a soul. And this morning, we're glad you're here, but we just don't want you here. We want to help your soul that never dies. We want you to know Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. It's such a show. What a show. We've got to go meet God, so kill him quick. What kind of religion is that? It's the same kind of religion that would pack a building. Listen. That would pack a building and not warn people about the judgment of God and the sin that causes them to be damned in their life. And the same religion that wouldn't give the good news that Jesus saves and that Christ died for our sins to take away that penalty. I see here in the first thing about the death of Christ, I see the religious preparation. And then I see something else. Would you go back, verse 31? The Bible says, so they, the end of the verse, verse 31, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. Now, verse 32, strange. I don't know if you just think through the Bible with me, all right? You've got three crosses. Jesus Christ is in the middle. Verse 32 says they break the legs of the first, and then it said they break the other. But then the next verse says, but when they came to Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Why would you come to the one in the middle last? Nobody does that. You got three crosses in a row. You're coming to break the legs. You're going to break the legs of the first. You're going to break the legs of the one in the middle. You're going to break the legs of the third one. Is that not right? That's not what they did. They come to the first. They break the legs of the first. And they skipped over Jesus. And break the legs of the other. And then they went back to the one in the middle. Why did they do that? Nobody in here would have done that. I'll tell you why they did that. Because God Almighty was in control of what they were doing. Amen. The Bible was controlling their activities. These are soldiers that are hardened, that are without God. And even God is, you know, God's still in control. You know, still everything's going to turn out just like the Bible said it was going to turn out. It doesn't matter if they're blasphemers. It doesn't matter if the whole world stands against the truth of the Bible. It's still, they come to the first, break his legs, and the Lord says, go around that one. Hey man, the Bible says you're not breaking that one's legs. You're not going to break that one's legs. What do you mean we're not going to break that? Look at your Bible again. He says in verse number 33, but when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They break not his legs. Look at verse number 36. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. The Bible controls the world. The Word of God controlled the activities of these men. And they didn't break his legs. He was dead already, because it fulfilled the scripture in Psalm 34:20 that not a bone of him should be broken. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would God not let the bones of Jesus be broken? Would you take your Bible real quickly and go to Exodus chapter 12 with me? Did you get Exodus chapter 12? And with the other hand, I believe it. I think you can do it. Exodus 12, and with the other hand, get Numbers chapter 9. All of this is a fulfillment of the scripture. They could not break the bones of Jesus. Now the Bible says that his body was broken for you. You remember he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. His body was broken up, but his bones were never broken. Because the Bible said that his bones will not be broken, but also look at this great truth. Exodus chapter 12, watch this. This is about the Passover lamb. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 46, he says, in one house shall it be eaten. Exodus 12, 46. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. You see that? That Passover lamb, they couldn't break its bones. Look at Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. Why couldn't they break the bones of the Passover? I mean, if you kill a lamb and you take of its blood, who cares if you break the bones? God says, I don't want the bones broken. Why? He said, because I've got something to prove to you a couple thousand years later. Numbers chapter 9. Watch this. Numbers chapter 9. The Bible says in verse number 10, he talks about that Passover unto the Lord. And he says in verse 12, Numbers 9, verse 12, they shall leave none of it until the morning, look at it, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever skinned an animal or if you've ever prepared an animal, you know, to get all that, breaking the bones is just part of cooking the meal. I mean, you got to get through, let's do chicken, okay? You get that breastbone, you cut that, and you cut the legs off. And breaking bones is just part of preparing something for the table. But God says this Passover lamb is different. I don't want you to break one bone of this Passover lamb. You know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? Listen. The scripture was fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. You know why? Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that Christ is our Passover. And the Lord says, don't break a bone of that one in the middle, because that's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, and you're not going to break any of his bones. And I would tell you this morning, if you've never had the blood of the Lamb applied to your heart, he was there as your Passover. He is your Passover. And when God sees the blood, he'll pass over you. And if you'll believe on that one in the middle, that Lamb of God that was your Passover, not broken in the bones, but broken in his body and shedding his blood for you, if you'll believe on him, you'll escape that judgment. You know what we have today in this world? We have a lot of brokenness, don't we? We have a lot of brokenness. I preached the other night from Daniel about how they break their bones, the lions did, before they even came down to the bottom of the pit there in Daniel. We have a lot of brokenness today. But I want to tell you what, that Jesus Christ can heal you of your brokenness. He can heal you of your sin. He whose body was broken for you and those bones that were intact, he hangs there as our Passover, and he can heal whatever's broken about you. I tell you what, I don't do well with broken things. I really don't. If I try to fix something, amen, that's broke, it'll be broken worse by the time I get through with it. That's just the way it goes. I just have to stop and say, okay, just have to pay somebody. Have you ever noticed that life's about like that? A lot of brokenness in life, the more you try to fix it, the more broken it can become. You need to go to that one that can heal that brokenness. You need to get to Jesus Christ that can heal your heart and satisfy your soul and cleanse your sin and meet your need and be your all in all. I see some broken legs in this passage, but it wasn't the Lord's. And then lastly, I want you to look at one more thing. Would you look at verse 34? The Bible says, you know the story, John 19, 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Verse 37. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. That's Zechariah 12:10. That's another fulfillment. They pierced him. They pierced his side. He's dead already. Now, why is that important? John says that you need to hear this. I saw it. I saw water and blood come out of the side of the Savior so that you would believe. You know what liberal religion says? Look here. You know what liberal philosophy says and religion says? They said Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He just swooned. He just sort of went unconscious. And then they took him down, and then he woke up, and that's why he could appear to 500 people, and they believed that he was alive. Oh, he really didn't die, and therefore he really didn't rise from the dead. You know how I know that's a lie? Because hardened Roman soldiers know if somebody's dead. And when those soldiers that have dealt with death all their life comes up to the one in the middle, they said, no, he's dead. So we don't even need to break his leg. He's dead.
And one soldier said, I tell you what I'm going to do. And he didn't even know it, but he's abiding by the Word of God. The Word of God's controlling his actions. And he takes a spear and he rams it up into the side of Jesus Christ. And it goes through that rib, up to that sack of his heart. You see, Jesus Christ, he really did die of a broken heart. His heart was really broken for you. As he took that spear and rammed it up through his side and up into that sack that's around that heart, that pericardium there, and the water comes out, that fluid around that sack of that heart starts pouring out, and the blood pours out of that heart. There is no question that he is dead. You understand? He's dead. It doesn't matter what liberal religion says. It doesn't matter what the modernists say. It doesn't matter what the atheists or the agnostics say. He was dead. The piercing of his side all the way up to the sack of his heart and probably in his heart proved his death. And John said, I saw the water and the blood come out. You know, he writes about that later in 1 John 5. He says, this is the witness. God is the witness. And that water and the blood is a witness, he says, that you should believe. And he that hath the Son hath life. Because out of that side, of that flowing side, comes that blood and that water that will cleanse you from all your sin and wash you. His is the cleansing. What his blood is the cleansing, the blood of Jesus Christ. God's Son cleanses us from all sin, and that water that comes out. You know what I see there too? Come here, this is great. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he's called the last Adam. You remember when God put Adam to sleep? God went up in his side too, didn't he? God went up in his side and performed an operation there and took out a rib. And what did he do with that rib? Made him a bride. You know what the Lord did with the last Adam? The Lord did what God did with Jesus Christ. Out of that bleeding side, out of that up through that rib and up into his heart came out blood and water that would cleanse and wash people from their sins. And he called out a bride for his own name, amen, and made us the bride of Christ and made us a part of his body, just like Adam. Oh, listen, this is much more than religion. This is called being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been cleansed by that water and that blood? Have you been washed in the blood? The Bible says, look on him. You see that in the text? They looked on him whom they pierced. Look on him. Feast your eyes on Jesus. The scripture says, but we see Jesus. Look on him. Look on him as he hangs there. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. Yes, but look at the blood and water running out of his side. Look at the cleansing fountain that's open for you. Thank God, as we even sang yesterday in front of the public square, there is a fountain filled with blood, and it's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Have you been made clean? Are you washed? Are you washed from your sins in his own blood? They shall look on him whom they pierced. In the next chapter, look, chapter 20 real quick. I'm about finished. You know, there's coming a day the whole world will see him. The Bible says in Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen, when Jesus Christ comes back to this world, they will still see those wounds. They will still see the pierced side of our Savior. They'll see that, and they'll begin to wail and to weep because they had rejected him. They didn't want him. Even as the Bible prophesied in the book of Zechariah, I'll read this in just a minute, in Zechariah about the Jewish people. He said in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, he says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. He said there'll be a great mourning that day. Now look, look. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day you're going to see him. You're going to see him. I almost said eye to eye, but I don't think you'll come up that high. You're going to see Jesus Christ. And you know what's going to happen when you see him? you're going to see his wounds. And here's the truth. You pierced him. I pierced him. The nails in his hands and feet and the spear in his side was my sin. It was your sin. And if you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ this side of eternity, you will look on whom you pierced, and that will be the greatest mourning day and bitter day of your eternal existence. But if you'll look upon him in faith now, if you'll look upon him in repentance now, if you'll look upon him with an open heart now and say, yes, I want that fountain of blood to wash my sin away. When you see him, there can be joy and gladness and adoration and love. Can you imagine, you that are saved by the grace of God here this morning, can you imagine what's going to go through your heart when you see him for the first time? You know, they paint these pictures of Jesus in this big robe, and you see all this light. You know what I think is going to catch your eye if you're saved by the grace of God? The wounds. And we see a little picture of that in John 20, and I'll be finished. In John chapter 20, the Bible says this. Verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. John 20, 25 now. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I wonder this morning, will you, with the eye of faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Believe that he died for you. Believe that he was buried for you. Believe that he rose from that dead. Believe that that blood and that water came out to cleanse your soul. Will you trust him, though you haven't seen him? Or will you wait till your eyes are upon him? And maybe you're here this morning and you've got some sin in your life. He shed that blood for that sin. Why would I love what pierced the side of Jesus? Why would I hang on to what made him suffer and bleed and die? I guarantee you there are people right here this morning. You need to be saved. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about salvation. And there are people right here this morning that are saved. And you need to come to that cleansing fount and let the Lord wash you. Purify you and sanctify you. And he's there for us. He's available.